Walter, the host. True Wealth is sponsored by Coins Plus in Spokane, Washington. Coins Plus is located at 3201 North Division Street inside the Division Hill Clock Tower Plaza. A nice big clock tower building we built many, many years back. It's become a landmark in the area. Coins Plus can be reached at 444-0044. That's our local number. Outside the area, toll-free 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. Coins Plus carries a pretty heavy inventory of everything you can imagine. I think it's important that I let you know that very, very little of it is on display. And some people come in... Some people come in sometimes and they think they're like, well, you know, geez, I thought you had this or that. Well, we do. We have pretty much anything you can imagine. We just have a limited amount of display space. People that know us know to ask, and we will ask and you will receive. We do, and we're fair. We're wholesale to the public. One thing that's just as a kind of a general rule, we never sell junk. In other words, if you're buying any coins, we sell nice, original, problem-free, collector-quality coins. Had a gentleman come in today selling back some coins. We've sold him over the years. Been a good customer for many, many years. And one of my employees brought me some coins and said, how much will we pay for these? He bought them here. So I figured up the price on a bunch of them. And I said, he didn't buy this one here. And he says, how do you know that? I said, because it's a cleaned up piece of junk, excuse me. And he said, yeah, that's true. We don't sell that to our customers. We just don't. We buy it. We buy everything. And if a coin's been improperly handled or cared for, we move it through the wholesale channels and we'll sell it down, let it go to the East Coast or something. We don't care. Our customers get good quality stuff. That's who we are. The Tiffany's of the coin business, or the Nordstrom's is more appropriate. Tiffany's is kind of expensive. Although if you know much about the secondary market on jewelry and stuff, oddly enough, items from Tiffany's they hold a pretty solid secondary market value, which has been impressive. A few Christmases back, I really wanted to buy my wife a Tiffany diamond cross necklace, and I'd wanted it for years, and every single year the thing went up like 10%, and trust me, they're expensive, and she has all these things I've made her these beautiful little cross necklaces and all this stuff, but there was just this one Tiffany one she wanted, and every year it went up and up and up and up, and I thought, well, I can get this secondhand. So I started to do some good research, because we have good access to that information. And on the secondary market, they still would bring 85% of their retail price. And I'm like, why would I pay 85% of retail when someone's already worn it? So I stepped up and paid for the whole thing, which was nuts. But the point is that they do have a good resale value on their stuff, and which is why they're the number one counterfeited item out there. That's Tiffany stuff. But The funny thing about their products is you can buy from us literally four or five of the exact same thing for the price of one of theirs. Why? I don't know. They've spent years establishing a name like that for people with extremely large amounts of money. They'll get $350 for a silver bracelet that has $20 worth of silver in it. I don't ask. Like I said, can't tell you why. Human nature. You, the consumer, are the one that dictates that. So anyway, Merry Christmas as we roll closer and closer and closer. This is sort of Christmas week, isn't it? Christmas is a interesting time of the year for me. By the way, Coins Plus can be reached. Did I already do this? 444-0044. Toll free outside the area. 877-TAP-COIN or through our website at coinsplus.com. I think I did. Christmas is an interesting time of the year. It's been hasn't always been my favorite time, and the reason is I get nauseated by the hyper-commercialization of the holiday. You get all this pressure to buy and to do all these things, and it has become a huge commercialized holiday, and we have lost touch with absolutely what the purpose of it is. It's the celebration of Christ's birth, and I can hear the people chiming up out there. Do you know that Jesus really wasn't born on 25th of December? Yes, I do. I know all about that. But it is what we've landmarked as a holiday, and I know it's got pagan roots, and I know all that stuff. But the bottom line is, God's not holding you accountable for that. God's holding you accountable for your heart. And what's your heart towards it and people in and around the season? And, people get so caught up in that stuff. You have to ask yourself, what's your heart? Okay, if you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, it's just like the seventh day thing. I understand there's people that reject Paul's writings, and there's some stuff that's argumentatively debative as far as some of his writings. Is it inspired or not? When he says, I wish you wouldn't get married, the Catholic Church built itself upon that. Obviously, God fulfilled man. There's all these different arguments. But when you get into the seventh day thing, Paul did say, whatever day you call the Sabbath, keep it holy. And obviously, there's 10 commandments, and we obey 9 of them. And the one says, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. If we don't do that, where's our heart? It's a 50-50 thing. It's become a church thing over time, was based on Judaizing clear back in the Constantine era, and it's carried forward. But the real bottom line is our heart. God cares about our heart. You can be an amazing, godly man serving the Lord in your heart, and that's what matters to Him. So we get caught up a lot in legalism, folks, and I would just encourage you, stay away from legalism. Really ask what's a person's heart all about. There are people that can specialize in being legalistically perfect far better than you or I. They can just toe the line. They know the rules. They can point their finger at you. They can use, there's in the Bible, I read in Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, the word contempt. And then when I was reading a while ago on some marriage stuff, it said one of the number one signs, there's all these different signs and symptoms in a marriage. The number one sign divorce is imminent is when one or both spouses speak to each other with contempt. Like, you disgust me. I'm so much better than you. I'm looking down my nose at you. This is what legalism does in the church. If it's a sign of divorce in a marriage, if the Bible warns against it and says God hates it, why do we embrace legalism in our churches? Folks, I'm talking to each one of you. There's plenty of you that can sit around and tell me every person in the church that's done this or that wrong and what you don't like about them. And when you listen to a sermon, is it for you or them? Do you say, oh my God, my uncle, my cousin Bob's got to hear this. He needs this bad. You read a scripture of Proverbs about, the sinner. Oh, my God. Little Mikey, he needs to read that. Ooh, he could use that. What about us? What about you? The scriptures are written to us. We change the world starting with us. Can you go through all, can you study the word and apply it to you? Do you want a better relationship with God? Or do you want to change the world starting with people? Do you realize that it is virtually impossible to change others? As long as you tie your joy to the behavior of another, you will never have joy. Not only because that person won't change and you can't change them, but if they did change by some miracle, you'd find someone else to blame your bad behavior and your bad attitude on. Realize each man gives account of himself to God. The Bible is specific to each one of us. We have the ability to absolutely dictate and create our environment. We can make the area around us a much better place. We are to have joy. We are to have the fruits of the Spirit, and we do need to consciously think about applying them in whatever presence we're in. If you're in a presence that is saturated with judgmentalism, then get out. If you're not comfortable, be polite, be gracious. You don't have to be disruptive. There's all kinds of family dysfunction and dysfunction that builds. Abused wives. If you're really abused, get out. You know, there's, I remember the verbal abuse thing has gotten way out of control. And I know there is verbal abuse that is terrible and tormentuous. But then there's, you know, the argument of, hey, look, you're not paying the bills. You know, you're really mishandling this, or, you know, you've spent all this money on the credit card. There's women that, you know, it'll escalate and say, look, you're being irresponsible, whatever. And they'll say they're being verbally abused. No, it's not verbal abuse. If it's true and an issue that needs to be resolved in the marriage, verbal abuse is when somebody just lets the hammer down and says things that are intentionally, specifically cruel and destructive and hurtful and mean and not edifying in any way. There's things that are edifying that will often not feel real edifying because we've all got issues. And when we're in a marriage, it's a two-way street. We have to balance our finances. I mean, we've got to. It's our spiritual worship. It is literally our heart condition towards God, the way we handle finances. Debt, racking up debt on a credit card is not handling our finances. There's a time and a place for that. Emergencies, you know, car breaks down, you don't have any money in the bank, that's one thing. Buying extra Christmas presents is not an emergency. And we have to be aware of that. I was speaking recently with a young gal who's, I don't know what, she's got kind of a checkered past. She's got a daughter who's got some kind of medical handicap issues. And she's sort of starting these nonprofit things where she's talking, you know, about this single mother has a child with the same issue. And she's like, we need to get all this money together and give her a good Christmas. And when I first read that, I thought, man, that is not what Christmas is about. I understand we want to do something good and give her security, but no. And then I was speaking with this lady later about her own daughter, and she goes, I just hope I can get enough money together to give my daughter a good Christmas. And I said, that is so far from what Christmas is about. You cannot teach your daughter that Christmas is based. You can't say, I love you this many dollars. Or you had a good Christmas because we spent this many dollars. That is absolutely not what Christmas is about, folks. Nothing about it. And you know what? If you offend somebody, so what? I mean, seriously. You should start family traditions that just tone it back. You don't need to feel that pressure. And trust me, I've been financially blessed in my life. I've bought my wife Rolex watches at Christmas. I mean, I'm not saying I don't know how to kick it up, but I'm just saying that is not the measure of a Christmas, how much stuff is under the tree. Christmas is about the love of Christ. It's about the absolute appreciation and gratitude for what Christ did, for who he was, for the absolute, you know, transformation of planet Earth. I mean, folks, have you ever just sat and meditated and thought, and maybe you're not good at history or whatever, but you have no clue possibly the impact that Jesus has had on modern century or the two modern millennia, modern history. I mean, all the way from, you know, what drives nations. And folks, I was having a talk. I had a good friend of mine here this weekend. We had our business Christmas party. Known him since college. Fellow Christian from when we were in Navigators. And he's a colonel in the military. And he's very decorated. And he's got, you know, plenty of deployments. And he's always been a marksman since I knew him, and he's, you know, the army actually sends him to competitions. I mean, he's phenomenal, and he's very low key. But as he worked in Afghanistan and I don't remember where else, Kyrgyzstan and Iraq and all that, what's happened to him, and it's interesting discussing this with him, is he's started to convolute Islam, the religion, with Muslims, the people. And what I mean by that is this. He starts to justify the Muslim religion based on the people he's met being his friends. And as we spoke further and further, I became concerned. I spent like an hour trying to explain to him why and how the Muslim religion is the religion of the devil. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't like it. But what, you know, and he started to, it was crazy. And this is a man who's a believer. He's not spending the, I would say, the amount of time in the Bible, in the Word he should. But, you know, and then, I don't know. It's kind of the political correct thing. And he's gotten this real neutrally mindset of goodness, being non-judgmental, non-offensive, walking the middle, you know, politics and everything. It was just really interesting. And he got around a group of my friends. And then he got to hear the other side of that. But it was fun. We had fun. But the point is, folks, we are facing a serious spiritual threat to this planet. It is legitimate. And, you know, if you look, I mean, honestly, if you look at the scriptural, what we, how we perceive scriptural prophecy of the end times, Trump sort of almost doesn't fit. I think there's a lot of believers that were like, you know, I really didn't expect him because I kind of thought we were already on that path. And I'll tell you, folks, there is a religious fuel in the end times breakdown of, you know, the Antichrist, etc. And that religious fuel is absolutely got to be Islam, okay? There's no question. I mean, that's here. It was, I was, you know, I was baffled about seven, eight years ago, sitting in a church here in Spokane and having this pastor who I respect say that the Muslim religion's going to die. Everybody's going to see how foolish it is. He was saying it's nowhere in the Bible and it's just going to go away. So don't pay attention to it. And then it was, and I was like, a friend of mine that was there started buying into it. And I said, dude, no. I said, you watch. That is the devil's religion. That is taking off like a wildfire. Well, it was shortly after that, away it went. And now we're facing ISIS, folks. I don't know how close you're watching the news. I'm telling you, today, there's terrorist attacks in Turkey. You know, there's a character assassination. There was stuff in Brussels, Berlin. You know, the guy with the truck. I can't even remember them all, to be honest with you. There are terrorist attacks all over every day. This is where we are right now. This is what we've got going on. They are on fire. And I'll tell you what, the next thing you're going to hear, and it's really getting on my nerves. And by the way, here's a jump in. This whole thing about the markets booming and metals cooling off and paper going up, folks, buy metals now. This is the greatest buying opportunity. All of this crazy market movement is based strictly on speculation, pure speculation. Nothing's happened. No policies have been administered. Nothing. This is all speculation. This will correct, and it will correct strong, and it will correct fast. So this is such a beautiful buying opportunity. You have an automatic 10% profit minimum built in, probably 10 to 20% profit built in right if you buy now in the next 4 to 6 months. You're going to see some nice, nice gains. Take advantage of that. 401ks and IRAs, folks, if you have a 401k or IRA and you're thinking you want it in your hands, give us a call. This is such a good time to get ready. You got 2 weeks. You can take it out. You can have it for 16 months. You won't owe any taxes on a full rollout for 16 months. I'm not telling you have to roll it out. We can roll it over. We do it all the time. We keep it in a solid, secured trust, which is our safe deposit box system, basically. It's safe. You know where it's at. It's not in cyber specs out in space. And I'm telling you, folks, if you're getting comfortable with that, Mark my words. That system will fail. There's no way. They're going to have to come up with a new system, but that one is going to get you. And it's going to sting, and it's going to hurt, and it's going to stink. And people are going to be hurting bad. Then you get the government bailout. Then you're, you know, it's just going to be an absolute mess. You're so much better off owning biblical hard assets. You own real wealth. Get out of the paper lie, folks. It's a manipulated way to confiscate your wealth. Just get out. Call me crazy. I don't care. The market goes up and people go, hey, look, you said hard assets are better and paper's going up. Paper. What is paper? It's not even paper because you can print it up. So you have some numbers on a screen that say you're doing okay. Well, if you're really doing good, get it out. You know, get it out. So back to the Islamic thing. The number one mistake Obama has done is nothing, folks. And what we're going to be faced with soon is this. This is the Pandora's box. The problem, man, I'm stacking it up. The problem with a two-party system, for starters, okay, is absolute division of a nation. And the problem is no matter what the heck happens, the two-party system won't unite. They just absolutely won't. It's the Super Bowl. It's red and blue. It's bad, folks. It's just destructive to a nation. Our founding fathers warned us about it. You know, this stuff where Hillary lost, and it has nothing to do with who she was. It wasn't a mandate against her. I mean, are you serious? People, now they're looking at, everyone's an idiot. They're just dumb sheeple. People don't know anything. The only reason Hillary won is because Russian hackers tried to get in. Well, here's the truth with the Russian hackers. The Russian hackers, all that means, folks, is that somebody from Russia somewhere was trying to hack into various things related to the election throughout. Duh. That's going to happen all the time. It's happening right now. It's prolific. It's going on everywhere all the time right now. Just as it is with Chinese hackers and Algerian hackers, they're out there. They're doing it all the time. It's nothing new. It's nothing special. It is all spin, propaganda, lies. Now, Russia stole our election, and Donald Trump, he won't speak out against it. Here's what they want. Here's what the left wants. They want Donald Trump to come out and go, I mean, obviously it's unrealistic. Well, since we think that Russian hackers actually stole the election for me, even though we have no evidence, what I'm going to do is I'm going to put my presidency on hold until we can further examine this and make sure that the people really knew what they were doing, because we have no evidence that there was any tampering with any of the polls. But, you know, we really can't have faith in our people. We really must think that this fake news just persuades people, because after all, y'all are real dumb and you can't think for yourself after all. So I think we need to just put this election results on hold until we can find a darn way to spin this thing around and get Hillary in there. That's exactly what they're doing, folks. This is how stupid their fantasy world is. They learn nothing, okay? Now, here's the truth. If conservatives would have lost, we'd be looking at it frustrated, saying, why did we have Trump? You know, why did we not get the message out there? And we would realize that we've lost the core message. What's important is we need Trump to rally up and start to attract minorities, folks. This thing where 89% of blacks voted for Hillary and before that 94% for Obama. What is this? Do they really believe this rubbish crap, that white men can't take care of black men? That like they're the enemy? They have propagated this trash for so long. I mean, folks, this is sickening. And Obama's been the most divisive, racially baiting president I know of. It's disgusting. He's used it in the most political form I've ever could imagine. It's terrible. What he's done is wrong. He's been deceptive and lied and divisive. And thank God it's over. I know for a fact from what I've watched, simple discernment, Trump doesn't care about your skin color or your sex. If he looks at a person and they misbehave and they mistreat him, guess what? He's coming after you both ways. It doesn't matter whether you're red, black, yellow, white, or female or whatever. He doesn't care at all. And that's the way it should be. To truly eradicate racism, we have to be colorblind. We have to not care about the stupid color of somebody's skin. That's what bothers me the most. They keep ranting and raving about this racial stuff, but yet all they do is discuss the color of a man's skin. If we were forced to not ever refer to the color of a man's skin again, you know, then how would we, you know, you can just imagine the impact that would have. Then when someone did refer to the color of a man's skin, then they could say, hey, that's racial. But the truth is we should not care. God made all men. I know there's all kinds of different philosophies people have and how the skin color get there. Where did black come from? Which is an interesting question. You go back. We've never seen even microevolution of skin color pigmentation in all of written human history. And over on the Ark, it's mentioned that one of Noah's sons had an Ethiopian wife, meaning black. But we don't know where that pigmentation came from. And it's a very interesting concept, but that's a totally discussion for another day. But we have been divided harshly in this nation. We have been subjected to every dirty left-wing tactic out there, the Saul Alinsky method, rules for radicals. We have been absolutely played. Now what we're doing is we're getting played the religious card with Islam. Folks, I don't care if Muslims live in America. I mean, it doesn't matter to me that they're here. But I can tell you whether you like it or not, their religion hates Christians and it hates Jews. And they have full authority under their Allah, who is the devil, to destroy the infidel, period. That's what they will do. That's what they can do. When you find a Muslim that disavows that, they're not a Muslim. They do not read the surah. They do not read the Quran or the hadith. They are not reading it. It is so very, very clear what their scriptures say. Their scriptures say things like Quran 2:191 through 3, and kill them wherever you find them. Turn them out from where you have turned, where they've turned you out. And al-fitna, and your disbelief is worse than killing. If you don't believe, it's worse than killing in Islam. It means you've been rejected by Allah. But if they desist, then lo, Allah is forgiving and merciful, and fight them until there is no more fit disbelief or work. In other words, fight until anyone who doesn't agree with you is dead. And worship is for Allah alone. But if they cease, let there be no transgression except against the polytheists and wrongdoers. The verse, I'm reading this, trying to translate. They call it fighting for a defensive war. Okay, I'll get to something a little easier to read. How about this one? Quran 2:222. How about I don't give you the reference? It's in Quran 2. Then fight in the cause of Allah and know that Allah hears and knows all things and will defend your cause and destroy your enemies. And then it goes on in parentheses, until there is no blood, no more blood to spill. Fighting is another Quran too, right after that. Fighting is prescribed for you, and you may dislike it, but is it possible that you dislike a thing which is good for you and that you love a thing which is bad for you? But Allah knows, and you don't know. Not only does this verse there it goes. Okay. So then another one. As to those who reject the faith, I will punish them with terrible agony in this world and hereafter, and they will, nor will they have anyone to help them. So if you reject Allah, if you reject Islam, you're going to be punished in this world and afterwards. Little different than the freedom of thought offered up by Christ, huh? So much for philosophical mindset. Soon, here's another Quran 3:151. Soon shall we cast terror into the hearts of the unbelievers, for that they joined companions with Allah, for which he had sent no authority. Let those fight in the way of Allah who sell the life of this world for the other. Whoever fights in the way of Allah, be he slain or be he victorious, on him we shall bestow vast rewards. Those who believe fight in the cause of Allah is another one. They that wish that you should reject, they but wish that you would reject the faith as they do, and thus be on the same footing as they are. But do not take friends with anyone from the ranks of the infidels until they flee in the way of Allah. But if they turn renegades, seize them and slay them wherever you find them, and in any case, take no friends or helpers from their ranks. In other words, do not ever be friends with an infidel. And it goes on and on. Not equal are those of the believers who sit at home and do nothing, I suppose, except those who are disabled by injury or blind or lame from war. So if you're not doing anything, you're sitting at home, it better be because you got injured in war. And those who strive hard and fight in the cause of Allah with their wealth and their lives, Allah has preferred in grades those who strive hard and fight with their wealth and their lives above those who sit at home. Unto each, Allah has promised paradise. But Allah has preferred those who strive hard and fight and kill above those who sit at home by a huge reward. Do not be weak-hearted in pursuit of your enemies. Do not stop. Be ruthless. Chase him the rest of your life. If you suffer pain, then surely they shall suffer more pain. I mean, it goes, this stuff's just trash. The punishment of those who wage war against Allah and his messengers and strive to make mischief in this land is this, that they shall be murdered and crucified, and their hands and their feet shall be cut off on the opposite sides, and they shall be imprisoned. This shall be as a disgrace for them in this world and in the hereafter, that they shall have a grievous chastisement. You know how sick that is, folks? You know why they cut the hands and the feet off on the opposite side? You can't use a cane. If you have, you know, one, if you, you follow me, I think. It's absolutely terrible. You can't even balance. You can't do anything. It's sick. And then here's another one, Quran 8. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore, strike off their heads and strike off every fingertip of them. Think of it. Chop off every fingertip and every head. O you who believe, when you meet those who disbelieve in battle, turn not your backs to them. Take them, your enemy, to their family and kill their family in front of them, starting with the youngest, all through the elder, and then kill them, the man of the family himself. How sick is that? Find your enemy, drag him home, kill his family, start with the youngest, and go up the ladder and make him watch. O you who believe, when you meet those who disbelieve in battle, turn not your backs on them. Unless maneuvering for battle, what's that? He truly has incurred the wrath from Allah, and his habitation will be hell, and the hapless journey's end is your responsibility to cast Allah's hell upon him and his family. Fight with them until there is no more disorder and unbelief, and, you know, on and on and on. I think you get it. It goes on, and let not those who disbelieve suppose that they can outstrip Allah's purpose. They cannot escape. You know, make ready for them, tethered to horses, tied by chains, drag them through the town, show their, you know, on and on, this garbage. Anybody who tells you this is a peace-loving religion, these scriptures go on and on and on. Steal their wealth. Those who, you know, disbelieve, you know, take all their wealth, and, you know, and Allah's ways are much greater worth than Allah's sight. There, you know, I apologize, I'll stop. But you get the point, folks. This religion is sick. And when someone tells you it is a peaceful religion, they are liars. And here's what concerns me. My friend, who is a colonel in the military, who has engaged in battle numerous times, he doesn't know this. He's being brainwashed by Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. What is the story there? Barry Satoru changed his name. Yeah, I know there's all kinds of propaganda spin all over the internet that tells you this and that's not true about Obama. It's true. Folks, just because you go onto the internet and you find Snopes or PolitiFact and it says it's not true, you have no clue. When I was in college studying statistics and pre-law and taking logic and all these courses, there are ways to write paragraphs to appear to refute an argument or a statement that really what it does is it takes, you make a what's called a false argument. You grab a topic that appears to be part of that, and then you begin to focus on that topic, taking the focus off of the original. Unless you really, honestly, in most cases, folks, have a genius IQ, you're not going to pick this up. You're going to think that they're being honest. You assume integrity in what people write. It is exactly the same as when you watch a magician. When you watch a magician, they're not really making something disappear. They are playing with the mind's expectation. They're just playing with what you know you think you know, or what you know what I'm saying. And so that's the same with words. There are masters at the spin. And so just be so careful at what you're reading out there and what you are filling your mind with. Folks, we are coming into a time of battle, a great time of battle. And it is important that you understand this. And it is not Donald Trump's fault. It is Obama's fault. Obama could have eradicated, it technically goes back to Bush, but Obama could have eradicated ISIS quickly. Instead, he armed them. He literally armed them with Libyan weapons. Let's see. He transported them to Syria from Libya after Hillary killed Gaddafi based on a bribe from Saudi Arabia. We had a treaty with Gaddafi. And there's so few people that know this. I got this whole scoop from the deep inside, folks. And I know people that are like, you know, like they've got connections. I happen to be super, super fortunate to have super, super connections deep inside levels of the military I shouldn't even know about. And it's through the closest of friendships that I've been able to access some of this information. Hillary Clinton is just as evil as you can imagine. From those who were close to her, especially in a military fashion when she was Secretary of State, she's hideous. They said she's the rudest, nastiest, meanest, most ruthless person. A relative of mine who is well-ranked in NBC News New York had a reporter with her the night she lost. She flipped out so bad in the green room, people had to run. She was throwing chairs, cussing at people, throwing drinks on people, blaming everybody around her. And the reason is she's a sore loser. She's a bad person with no integrity. That is why this election garbage won't go away. Once Trump steps in office, then it will. But he hasn't even taken office. Today, the Electoral College cast their votes. There's a few people who defected. they will pay, because this system is based on integrity and honor. And you get all these left-wingers out there screaming at them, you know, vote your conscience, vote against Trump. You are not, the electors are not hired to vote their conscience. They're hired to represent the people who vote underneath them, to represent the citizens. That's their job. Vote your conscience. So one man or woman is supposed to rebel against the will of the populace that appoints them? I don't think so. It really doesn't make a lot of sense. But I can tell you that not only did Obama not defuse ISIS, he fed it. Why would he do that? I mean, let's be honest. Study his history. He is literally he's got an absolute Muslim background in life, and that's what he comes from. And I think you get my point, is he's an absolute Muslim through and through. He was born that way. He's lived that way. He's been, you know, he's done everything he can to advance the Muslim heritage. If you look at the advancements during his tenure, it's insane how much they've come along during this whole time. And, you know, here we are. Now there's other people that have to deal with this. And that's the American people, the rest of the globe. Does he believe this stuff? Sure he does. He believes this stuff. He absolutely believes it in his heart of hearts, you know, and that's why he's fought for it and fought for it and fought for it. And he's been quiet. You know, do you really think doing nothing is the best way to combat evil, to say nothing? They call themselves jihadists, but we can't. They call themselves radical Islamic terrorists, but we can't. Folks, I'm just telling you. This show, this day, there's terrorist attacks going on all over the world. They are arming up. They're going now here. We're going to get the blame on Trump. Oh, my gosh, Mr. Trump. President Trump, it's your fault that the terrorists armed up and decided to do holy jihad against the United States of America. If we would just kowtow down and cater to these people, it would never get that bad. Do you really believe they would have left Obama alone? No way. Absolutely no way. There is rumors from people on the inside. I'll go down a few of them. A friend of mine who I trust and respect, who is in a very important position, states that Obama has been seen practicing the Muslim religion with Muslim visitors, including a very harsh, extreme Muslim terrorist that came to visit him on a couple occasions, that he was seen bowing to Mecca with this guy. He's reads the Quran.
Says that his middle name was originally Muhammad instead of Hussein. I've just seen all kinds of this stuff, and it's just, I believe it. I think that that's really what's going on. He's anti-American. I saw his dissertations on his book in 95. He hates America. Anyway, I think we've made that pretty clear for the point right now. One thing to touch on again with Islam, folks, you got to understand, starting clear back, I think, around 2000, we'll just go down this road, okay? Obama's helped the Islamic State achieve its current size, ISIS, and strength by, you know, sending weapons and vehicles through the Syrian rebels, as I said, from Benghazi, okay? He's paid ISIS members monthly salaries, sending literally billions through various nefarious means. Folks, we've spent over $1 trillion a year under this guy overseas, $1 trillion a year. $1 trillion a year. That's thousands, tens of thousands of dollars for every American family per year. He's released extreme terrorist leaders from Guantanamo, Gitmo, even those known to have Stinger missiles and uranium. He's fired top commanders and thousands of troops, replacing them with illegal immigrants and Muslims. Yes, that's true. He's fired generals that refused that in an interview with him when he said, "Are you willing to fight to shoot upon American citizens if necessary?" And they said no, and he fired them. He's paid the mortgages of Muslims all over the world. That's the truth. He's been flooding our country with Muslims in preparation for the coming war. He knows what's coming. He's opened our borders. He's flown Muslims in, you know, importing them. He's, you know, used the State Department to bring them in by the tens of thousands. He's created this hands-off list for special terrorists, our jihadists in chief. You know, he's our jihadist in chief. He's quickly established a large Islamic army who will certainly begin operations by taking over the billions of dollars worth of military equipment the Department of Defense has flooded local and law enforcement with. It's coming. And they've had the Islamic caliphate in seven steps, basically. This started clear back in 2000. The first stage was the awakening, okay, which has been carried out. I'll keep it short and sweet. Here's what we got. It's a seven-stage process that the Islamists have set down for taking over the world and dominating with Muslim religion. Okay, the first phase was the awakening. It's already done, all right? That was from 2000 to 2003. It was with the attacks on September 11th. The sad thing is that we participated, PNAC, People for the New American Century, participated, not realizing, you know, that this would happen, that the outcome was this. They knew that they were going to gain militaristic control over the people. There was a compromise and a setup, and many people worked together in that with different goals and different motives. The timing was ironic, but it was done. The second phase, opening the eyes, according to the guy who wrote this, he said that period was lasting until 2006, where terrorists hoped to make the Western conspiracy aware of the Islamic community. The third phase was 07 to 10, a rising and standing up, where the focus on Syria began to rise, and the fighting was starting. It was just basically beginning with Iraq and Turkey and all this stuff. By the fourth phase was 2010 to 13. That's where Al-Qaeda was going to bring about the collapse of the Arabic governments, the Arab Spring, where they call it the creeping loss of the regime's power that led to a steady growth in strength within Al-Qaeda. This was the rise of the Muslim Brotherhood. The fifth phase, this was written in 2000, folks. What I'm reading right now was written in before 2000. And what I'm reading right now, this was written in 2006, a guy explaining it. I'm clear back here where it says, the period we are now and should last until 2006. I'm reading this prophecy that this guy's telling about in 2004 or 5. And this is going ahead. It's right on the money. There is a dark spiritual side to this thing, folks. There is a spirit realm and a spirit world, and this is it. If you don't see the spiritual component of this, you'll never see it. This is why it's biblically prophesied throughout the book of Revelation and so on, because that is exactly what it is. They're talking about the collapse of the Arabic governments, the Arab Spring. The fifth phase was the point in which the Islamic State or Caliphate started to become declared. This is 2013 through 16. It says, Western influence in the Islamic world will be so reduced and Israel weakened so much that resistance will not be feared. Al-Qaeda hopes that by then the Islamic State will be able to bring about a new world order. And that they are. It's called ISIS. The sixth phase is from 216 onward. They call it a period of total confrontation. As soon as the caliphate has been declared, the Islamic army will begin instigating the fight between believers and non-believers, primarily with isolated terrorist attacks, which have so often been predicted and prophesied by Osama bin Laden, who's no longer with them. The seventh phase, this is where they're going, folks, is what they call the definitive victory phase. In the terrorists' eyes, it's where the rest of the world will be so beaten down by 1.5 billion Muslims, the caliphate will begin to succeed. And this phase, they say, will be completed by 2020. And they say that a big war is coming. Now, Donald Trump is very likely the man that God gave us to fight this war. It's coming, okay? We're going to have a religious war, a big meltdown. How do you prepare for that? It's going to be happening. You need to be liquid and you need to be solid, folks. And I'm saying financially, that's my area. I say you need to be armed and be prepared to shoot. Don't just go buy a gun. Shoot it. Learn how to shoot faster and more accurate. And even, folks, for self-defense, get these little pepper mace guns. They're really good. You don't have to worry about shooting somebody and going through the nightmare of that for a home invasion or attacks or whatever. That's important for self-defense. For the defense of war, load up. Get some good armor. You know, get some good weaponry. Learn how to use it. Get a good AR. Spend some money. Don't buy junk. I've got all kinds of guns. Junky guns don't aim well. I mean, they really don't, and they don't last well. Folks, this is where we're going. This is important time. I do believe there's, in my mind, Donald Trump is the president we need. I think it's a blessing from God. He might be a little bit crazy. That's good. We need strength in this globe. Do we really want to be the wimpy, you know, milquetoast guy on the block while everybody else is going crazy and trash-talking us and looking down on us? We need that. You need a little bit of this. So I think we're in the right place at the right time. And I think Donald Trump's going to stimulate the economy. He's going to help business. Hopefully he'll cut some taxes. The left's going to be squawking and squeaking. And the biggest problem is deceptive political activities, folks. That's what we have to worry about, is just deception. And you got to keep spreading the news, spreading the word. I've heard people trash talk Trump. It makes no sense. There's got to be something right. You should get a list of all the things he's done right and good and just repeat them to people. Sure, he's got a mouth on him, but guess what? He won, and it matters. And the people didn't just vote for him. They voted for the House and the Senate. They fear where Obama was going with this stuff. They know we were turning into a socialistic nation, and we were never designed or intended to be this way. So it's truly time that we go the other way and defend ourselves. You know, we need to practice self-defense as a nation and prepare. We've had the longest peace-loving or peacetime on our soil of any nation in the history of the world. You know, it says, you know, the Bible's very clear. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. That's in Luke. That's Jesus. If, you know, he talks about, let the one who has a money bag take it, likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. That's Jesus. And then, you know, Timothy, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his own household, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. The way you treat your closest relatives says who you are. I don't care if the whole world likes you. What you do behind closed doors to your family and with your family says all about who you are. That's your integrity. Proverbs 25, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man who gives way before the wicked. You don't let the wicked prosper. Blessed be the Lord, David said, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Folks, We are not called to be pacifists. And there are Christian radicals that go this way. That's not what we're called to be. Do you think God's afraid of death and dying and violence? I'm sorry, trust me, I'm not trying to sound like some radical, but I'm just saying we are going to face, I believe, a time of war according to the prophecies of Islam. So be prepared. Don't be shocked when the terrorists are jumping, you hear activities all over. They're going to escalate. They're going to blame Donald Trump. Fine, let them do it. It's wrong. It's a lie. But it's going to rise. And the thing is, it's like an exorcism. When you call a demon out during an exorcism, guess what happens? Before he gets called out, he sits there quietly and just kind of destroys in peace. But once you call him out by name, he gets violent and vicious, and this is the devil. When we call this out for what it is, it's going to get dirty, and we've got to be prepared. So don't be deceived. It's not over. We just have better leadership to deal with it. And Obama did give it a chance to fester and build, and I believe with his skewed perception of reality, he thought he was doing the right thing. I'm telling you as well, folks, get in here. 401ks, IRAs, don't wait till the beginning of the year. Get it ready now. We can get you rolling on the beginning of the year. This is a good time. The value in metals is ridiculous. It just, this kind of stuff happens in markets. Take advantage of it and let us build you a great portfolio. We've even, on the bigger ones, we're doing diamonds. We're doing some other stuff. There's some great values. We've got nice GIA certified paper diamonds. We sell at wholesale, and yes, good quality stuff goes up, and it's a solid, hard asset, biblical-based. That's what you want. You want money that's been money from the beginning of time and always will be. You don't want you buy stock because you're greedy, and you want to make an unfair profit to try to keep up with inflation. Well, hard assets will do that for you. So call Coins Plus at 444-0044 or toll-free 877-TAP-COIN outside the area. And always to our website at coinsplus.com. Merry Christmas week. Take care. God bless. And we'll be back Wednesday. Bye-bye. Thank you.